This morning, we're going to talk about facing the future, a subject that I think each one of us is concerned with. You know, there's not one person here that's not thought about retirement, that's not thought about tomorrow, that's not thought about, you know, what am I going to do this week? What am I going to, you know, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? How am I going to accomplish all that I have to accomplish? You know, there's not one person in this room that at some point does not worry about or is not concerned about what does the future look like and how am I going to make it, whatever circumstance we're going through, whatever, you know, ups or downs or disappointments or good things or what, how am I going to keep this going if it's something that's good? How am I going to get through this if it's something that's bad? And this morning, we're going to talk about, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to James chapter 4. We're going to look at what it looks like to face the future. What it looks like for us to be people who are all about, first of all, we're all about living a life worthy of the gospel. Over and over again, Paul tells the first century church that if you're going to live the life God wants you to live, you got to be people who live a life worthy of the gospel. He says also in places, live a life worthy of your calling and live a life worthy of the Lord. It's one thing to confess Christ and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He is the Savior of the world, that He died on the cross for my sins, and I want to confess His name and be baptized and have everything that separates me from God removed, and I want to know the Lord. It's one thing to say that and to go through that, and it's a whole nother thing to then live a life worthy of the calling and the gospel of our Lord. And God's calling us to live that life. He says, live a life worthy of the gospel, of the calling, and of the Lord. And if we're going to be people that do that, if we're going to be people that live that worthy life, that life that brings glory to God, not glory and honor to us, not so that people hold us up as good people, but people that are seen as changed and transformed individuals, men and women who make God look good and make Him look like who He truly is, holy, righteous, forgiving, merciful, generous, compassionate God. And as we think about the future that we're going to live, as we think about the life that we want to present to God, facing the future is one thing that each one of us have to do. The Bible tells us, now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this city and that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? I mean, that's a great question for each one of us to ask. What is your life? I mean, you know, this is such a great conversational scripture. You know, you hear James asking, why do you do that? Why do you say today, tomorrow, we'll go here, we'll go there, we'll spend a year, we'll spend 2 years, we'll spend some time, we'll carry on business, we'll make money, we'll increase our wealth. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. He points out, this is what you do. This is how we operate. This is how we think. And then he goes on to say, what you ought to do, instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and you brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now, he brings up three very distinct points in 13 through 17. He talks about what we do. He talks about what we ought to do. And then he talks about why we do what it is that we do. He doesn't talk about why we do, why we ought to do what we should do, because that's a given. Why should we do what we ought to do? Because it's what God wants. But then he says, this is the reason that you talk about the future the way that you do. So we're going to talk about the mistakes that we often make. We're going to talk about mistakes that lead to future failure. And I'm not talking about mistakes that lead to failing at our plans. I'm not talking about mistakes that we make that cause us not to live up to all of the aspirations and the goals and the plans that we make. I'm talking about the mistakes that we make that cause our entire future that we plan to be a failure. Whether we meet our goals or not, do you realize that we can go through this entire life, have everything that we want, accomplish all the things that we set out to do, and in the end, be utter failures as children of God? That can happen. That can happen. So this morning, I want to talk about what the three mistakes that he brings up in this passage that lead to failing at the future. Now, I'm not going to tell you how to pack your 401k or your retirement plan so that you can have a nice and easy retirement, because that might not be necessarily what God wants for you. Some of us, God might want us to just work like dogs the rest of our lives, and that's fine. And we'll get to what that looks like, and we'll get to why that looks the way that it looks. But the first mistake we make is planning without God. He says in this passage, he says, he brings up what we say. He says, you say this, today we will go into this city or that city. Today I am going to do this, today or tomorrow. You know, there's this kind of indifference that he points out for a reason. You know, either today or either tomorrow. Whichever I decide, I will go to wherever I decide I'm going to go, when I decide to go there, and I'm going to do what I decide to do when I get there. And everything that I decide to do is going to be about carrying on business and making money. It's going to be about building wealth in this world. It's going to be about building up my esteem and who I am. Anytime in the New Testament especially, when you talk about money, when you talk about building wealth, it's always about building yourself as a person. Not necessarily what God has in mind for us, but building ourselves as a person. And you see, the reality is what we say is a window into our hearts. When he says, you say that tomorrow or today, you know, that just tells you, you know, in my heart, it really doesn't matter that I will go into this city or that city. You know, in my heart, it really doesn't matter where I am, and I will do business and make money. So my heart is all about building myself and my wealth and my standing and all of those things for me. What we say is a window into our hearts. Matthew 12, 33 through 37. You've heard me quote this scripture 100 times. And as I've said before, that repetition is so important. I want us to be the kind of people that when we come up against something in life, a scripture just automatically pops into our head. In Matthew 12, 33 through 37, I'm going to read it so that we get all of the, everything that's in there. Let me move one more page. Starting in verse 33, make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Make a tree bad and its fruit will also be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Now that's a pretty impressive bit of philosophy right there. There are in my backyard right now two trees. One's an apple tree, one's a pear tree. You know how I know which one's the apple tree and which one's the pear tree? One has apples on it, one has pears on it. That's how I tell. That's how I know. I can look at those, and now I've kind of memorized, and they're not moving around in the backyard, but I've memorized. I look out, and I look at them. The one on the left is the apples, the one on the right is the pears, and I can tell you that's the apple tree and that's the pear tree. But the only way that I know that at first is because I walk up to them and say, there's apples on that tree. Looky there, there's pears on that one. Now, you might think that I'm being, foolish or silly about it, but think about that. The only way we know anything about anybody is what is produced by their life. What is produced? He says, make a tree good, make a tree and its fruit will be good. Make it bad, its fruit will be bad. It's recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. The evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every word that comes out of their mouths. You see, because the what we say is a window into our hearts. What we say, the things that we choose to talk about, the statements that we make. So when we say, I will go to this city, I will spend some time there, I will do this or I will do that. You know what that says about us? That in our hearts, we are in control. In our hearts, our plans matter more than anything else because of what we say. And more than that, what we don't say. He gets to that a little bit later. But understand, we will, verse 13, today or tomorrow, we will go to this city. We will versus what is God's will. There's the reality of what is spoken right there. In Acts 17, 24 through 28, another great passage to look at, to memorize, to live our life by. Turn over to Acts 17. It's Paul. He's talking to a group of people there who believe in all kinds of things. They believe in all kinds of gods. They believe in the sun god and the dirt god and the god of the tree and the god that lives in this and the god that lives in that. And Paul says, let me tell you about the God who made all the things that you worship. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he, now hear this, this is in the Bible. The Bible that we believe is the inspired word of God for our lives. It is he who determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one. The question is, do we really, really believe that? Do we believe that the reason that we live where we live, the reason that we do whatever it is that we do, is because God has a plan. God has a purpose for us in that circumstance and in that situation. Whether we live up to it or not is our choice and is up to us. But God has a plan for the days of every day of our life. Do we believe that? Do we believe it? Because if we don't believe it, we will live our lives just like this. Today, I will go here, I will go there, do whatever I decide, whatever I choose, and I will make money and do business. Planning without God is the first mistake we will make, to have a future that is an utter failure. There is a solution, however. Always include God in your goal setting. You see, what is the purpose of our days? What does he say in Acts 17? What's the purpose of God making the choice? From one man, he made every nation that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this. Why did he do this? So that men would seek him and reach out for him. You see, God did not put us here to make Tullahoma a better society, a better community. He didn't put us here so that we could build a community that other communities could look on and say, man, the industry there, what they're doing with their resources, boy, that's just great. He put us here to make this community more godly. He put us here to make this, this place a place where the face of God is mirrored. Not industry and accomplishment. That's the only purpose for our life, so that we would seek him and perhaps reach out for him. To always include God in your goal setting. You see, goals and plans are not about what we accomplish, but goals and plans are all about why we accomplish. God, what do you want me to do in my wealth? God, what do you want me to do with my wealth? God, what do you want me to do in my poverty? You know, there are people
all over the social demographic. And God needs people living the life worthy of the gospel in circles where there are rich people. And He needs people living a life worthy of the gospel in circles where there is abject poverty. And He needs people living the life worthy of the gospel to that, you know, to whoever's in the middle. God has put us where we are for a purpose so that men might reach out to Him and perhaps seek Him. Wherever our station of life finds us, God, what do you want me to do with all that you have given me? What do you want me to do with the poverty that I exist within and the people that I see every day? How do I glorify you? Include God in your goal setting. Include God in your goal setting. Mistake number two, presuming about tomorrow. He says, you know, today or tomorrow we'll do this. Why? You know, you don't even know what will happen about tomorrow. When we make plans about tomorrow, we make some presumptions. And I'm telling you that we need to only believe what God has told you. You see, when we presume about tomorrow, when we make, when we make plans, you know, about something that we just assume is going to happen, sometimes we might not really believe what God is saying to us. Because in verse 14, he says, the only thing that God really tells us about our life is that it is a mist that vanishes. You know why he doesn't say that your life is kind of like smoke? Because smoke sort of dissipates, but a mist vanishes. It is, as soon as the conditions for that mist are over, it is gone. Very little warning. Doesn't really dissipate. You can't sort of see it. It's just there and then it's not. It's there and it's not. You ever drive by the, in Manchester and whatever that is, when you're going to Manchester, there on the right, it's like a flame that's burning. I don't know what it is. I mean, it's probably really great for the environment, I'm sure. Or maybe it has no impact. What is it? It's natural gas or unnatural gas or something. Methane, okay. I think that's one of the things that's really bad for the ozone when we burn it, I think. I don't know. I don't care either. But if you ever drive by on certain days, right above that flame is just kind of some condensation or mist or something. And it never just sort of dissipates, and you know, and you can sort of see it. It's sort of there, and then as soon as it gets a little bit higher, it's just gone. It's just gone. You see, that's the life that we live. It's got a finite amount of time. There are a certain amount of tomorrows, and then at the discretion of God, it is gone. The only thing that we're promised is that, God never tells us that tomorrow is coming. He never does. Go through Scripture and find me a place where He assures us that tomorrow is coming. The only thing that God assures us of is that Jesus is coming. Other than that, we have no presumptions that we can make. And the plans that we make regarding those things, they're futile. Because the only thing that we're guaranteed is eternity. And so the plans that we make, the goals that we set, should have eternity in mind, not tomorrow. Should have eternal comfort and eternal rest. They should have eternal glory and eternal righteousness. Not temporary comfort. Not temporary rest. Not temporary standings, but eternal. You know, when I talk to kids about, you know, making good choices, I always frame it in, at what point do we decide to give up heavenly ground for earthly ground? You know, when we're, you know, how much of our spirituality am I going to forfeit for whatever it is that I am faced with doing right now? Am I willing to give up eternal ground for earthly ground? You see, God, He says we make a mistake when we presume about tomorrow. We make a mistake when we say that either today or tomorrow, because, you know, either one are fine, because I know that tomorrow is going to happen. And if I decide, then I'll take care of that tomorrow. Because see, we're in control of things. We're the ones who number our days, not God. Solution? Live one day at a time. Now, this is, don't think about the one day at a time, but think about the live part of that. Live one day at a time. I mean, really make this day, the day that we know we have, the minute that we are assured of, that because we are experiencing it, live that day. The way that I like to think about this, don't just survive today, live today. Make this day the day that God has made, not the day that I concoct or the day that I sculpt for my own plans or my own aspirations. Make this day the day that God has made. A couple of weeks ago, I was challenged with a phone call. I talked to Dr. Frank Sutton in Birmingham. And we were kind of kicking around some ministry situations. And one of the things that he told me, he said, you know, today, Shane, has been a pretty dull day until you called. I'm like, well, thank you. Please explain. Dr. Sutton says, now he's, I think, 60 or 70 years old, something like that. He's a retired pulmonary specialist in Birmingham, longtime elder in the church, and just a great man of God. He said, Shane, I pray, and he's retired, and busier now than ever. And Al, you know what that's all about. But he said, Shane, every morning I pray, God, use me in your kingdom somehow today. God, show me something that you want me to accomplish for your glory and in your kingdom today. Now, I called him at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, about 3:30 or 4, something like that. And he said, you know what? Today has been a pretty non-eventful day until you called. He said, I believe with all of my heart when I prayed this morning, God used me, that God knew you were going to call me today. You see, that's how much he believes this kind of stuff. That's how much he lives his life this way. He says, use me today. See, Dr. Sutton rarely prays, God, use me tomorrow. Show me what you want me to do, you know, in the weeks and months to come. He focuses on today. What a challenge to hear. What a challenge, first of all, to hear that he's a man who thinks that I was an answer to his prayers. I mean, how much involvement in the kingdom of God do we feel when we hear that? I believe that God brought you to me today. What kind of a life are we living if we don't believe that? Do we believe that God will direct us to answer prayers and bring people to answer our own? Live today. Don't just survive it. God, how do you want me to further your kingdom today? I know I got to go to work. What does work look like to glorify your kingdom? I know I've got to go to this meeting or that meeting, but Lord, what does it look like? Mistake number 3. Putting off doing what is good. He ends this passage by saying, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Question we're asked, why are we putting it off? You know, now you can read, go on the internet and you can look up sermons all day long on this passage and they'll all talk about the sin of procrastination. And you know, that's okay, I'll buy that. But you know what? You know what? There's something behind the procrastination that nobody that really, I think, gets to. And that's the question that I want to ask, and I want to challenge myself and all of the people in this room that I love and I know God loves. Why are we putting it off? Why? Why does he say, you know, anyone then, and the then refers to all of the stuff that he's talked about before. Well, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do. So why are we putting it off? If you've got your Bibles, look over in Luke 9:57-62. And this is the tragedy that I believe is so, that just strangles the church and strangles God's people. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, I'll follow you wherever you go. Guy comes up to Jesus and just says, I'll do whatever you want me to do. And Jesus has a pretty peculiar answer. He does. Somebody comes up to me and they say, Shane, I will follow you and I will do whatever you want me to do. You know what I'm going to say? Okay. And I might have a list of things for that person to do, but not Jesus. You see, Jesus wanted to get, he wanted to get behind the scenes. He wanted to look at and to bring out the reality of the life being lived. He wanted to see what's the fruit that's really going to be produced. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Now, some people will say, you know what? It's proof that Jesus was homeless. That Jesus didn't own, you know, that Jesus was poor. Actually, when you read it in context, Jesus had just gotten told by a town, hey, y'all aren't welcome here. So he's saying, I get rejected most places I go. And we can read through the rest of the Gospels and you find out that he does. He gets rejected a lot. And so what he's telling this guy is, okay, it's easier said than done, because here's the reality of the life spent following me. So often, everyone else will have more and be more accepted. And he said to another man, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Still another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Jesus replied, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. We avoid what we don't want to do. Simple as that. We avoid what we don't want to do. So the question this morning is, when we think about the good man speaks good and the evil man speaks evil out of the good or evil stored up in the heart, is there a heart transplant needed in God's people this morning? Because you see, God wants us to want what he wants, to long for what he longs for. You know, one of the things that I learned early on in marriage is that it's not good enough for you to do something that your wife wants you to do simply because she wants you to do it. She wants you to do what she wants you to do because you have learned to want what she wants. Guys, amen. Ever clean the kitchen with a scowl on your face? Ever vacuum? Well, I'm doing what you told me to do. Just stop. Have you ever been told that? You're in there cleaning the kitchen. You're in there doing whatever, folding the laundry, whatever. And just stop. Just stop doing that. Well, honey, why? I'm doing it. Well, I don't want you to do it if you're doing it like that. Well, I want you to want to do this. Well, that's impossible. No, it's not. And it's not. It's a maturing process. It's a growth process. It's a learning process. And God wants us to want. He doesn't want us to do his will begrudgingly or with a heavy heart or with angst or anger. He wants us to want it. And if we don't, we have a problem. If we don't want to do the good that we see, then we have a heart transplant coming. We have a heart transplant that needs to take place. Because you see, there's so much else that's more important. There's so much else. So what's the solution? Solution number three to you know, putting off. What's the solution? Just do it. Just do it. When we see it, when we understand that there is something that God wants us to do, when good things cross our path, let that be a reminder to us that I am about the will of God. I'm not about my plans or my aspirations, my goals. And a lot of times things will come into our path or into our schedule or along the day, and it just really won't mesh with our schedule, and we really won't have time. And that is God reminding us, Christians, make time. Make time. There's so much of what we do on a daily basis that I promise you, God is begging us to let go. If we don't accomplish half of what's on our to-do list, but we do the good that we know we ought to do, then we please God. What's more important to you? What we have planned or what God has planned? Do you want your future to be a success? Do you want your future to be measured as someone who lived up to the calling and the gospel and the Lord? What's more important to you? Now, this is a gut check time. It is for me. It's a heart check time. If we're really, really honest, what is more important to us? What is more important? Facing the future It was all about making God a priority, making Him the planner of our every day. Not the planner of our days, the planner of our day. Live the day that we know we have to the glory of God. This morning, there are some here today that need to start living this day. Living this day to the glory of God. There's some today that need to make that confession that Jesus is Lord. I'm no longer Lord. I'm no longer the shot caller in my life, but Jesus is Lord, and I want Him to be my Lord and Savior, and I want to put Him on in baptism and have all of the veils torn down, all of the sins washed away, everything that separates me from God removed. I want to be baptized, and I want to start today and living, truly living this day. Make your future a success. For those who have done that and maybe allowed the weeds and the thorns of life and the rocks of life to crowd out all the good that we ought to do, stop sinning today and just do it. Just do what God has called us to do. Glorify God and have eternity to rest. And eternity to be glorified with your Father. Whatever decision you need to make, would you please do that as together we stand and as we sing.